You might not think that a few simple words could make you crave McDonald's breakfast sandwiches. But if you listen closely to the sound of me saying McGriddles, McMuffin, you might be wrong. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Our friends from Birmingham, UK.
UK.
Unbelievable. Right? All the way from the UK. We haven't made it to the UK. They've made it over here. That is awesome.
Sorry, Birmingham.
You haven't cursed yet.
Sorry, Birmingham.
On tomorrow's show, when we are live on Sky Sports, you will say something you shouldn't say, and then you can say sorry, Birmingham.
Right. I will be like, you, Florio. Yeah,
thank you.
And then I will say, sorry, Birmingham.
That was last night at the Mandalay Bay Sportsbook, the live audience.
Woo, woo, woo,
PFTPM, Chris Sims Unbuttoned.
Yep.
The Joint Megapix podcast, dropping at some point today if it hasn't already. There's a look at the casino, which has a very unique scent.
It's a little quiet right
now.
It
has a very unique scent.
A little smoky.
It is cigarettes masked by something that almost makes it pleasant. And I'm at the point now where I'm going to miss that smell.
I hear you.
Isn't that weird?
We kind of grew up with those kind of smells. They're not part of the world anymore. It's good to come back to Vegas and like be in a room that smells like 1984 again.
But it doesn't smell like that.
No.
They've done something to it that makes it smell better.
They've got like something on the carpet or going through the air filtration that is like trying to take away the smoke
smell. It almost makes it... It's like it's trying to be closed.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know?
I hear you. Exactly right. It's like they plugged in like a Christmas tree thing that puts out good fumes into the casino.
Well, you had some good fumes before we did our show last night.
I wish I could have blown the fumes there, right there in the casino. I would have. They let me. I had fun last night for our pod. I did go out by the pool and had a little smoky smoke. And then I got to our event and had some drinks.
Had some drinky drink.
Right.
And
right.
It was Happy Chris.
It was Happy Chris.
We did an hour with Happy Chris last night.
You know, I just was like, hey, it's time to go crazy. Let's have fun and go all in. And, you know, you were pretty good. You were only an asshole here and there.
I was pretty good. Thank
you. Sorry, Birmingham.
All right, there it is.
There it is. I just want to give them some love.
Well done.
But no, we did. It was great. And we had a good little showing of our European, UK
worldwide,
friends.
Belgium.
Right?
Philippines,
right? I wish I would have spent a little more time with our Philippine fans because they were really cool. I wish I would have gotten a chance.
They were flying back to the Philippines after our show.
That's insane. It really is. But yeah, like humbling. Made me very proud of what we do in our show.
Well, look, we're not going to go too far behind the scenes here, but it wasn't exactly something that was weeks in the making. So
no, we kind of just put it together.
It just got slapped together,
right.
And there was like negotiation about what we can and can't
do.
Can't amplify sound. They ended up working out a deal. But we didn't have a whole lot of time to wave the flag and spread the word.
No.
And so when I got there, I'm thinking, no one's coming. And it's like, hey, there's a lot of people here.
Right.
Like, where'd all these people come from?
We got the people going.
Where'd they all come from?
They were regulars. It was perfect. We had Super Bowl jacket guy, right?
Super Bowl jacket guy had a copy of my mob novel, Father of Mine, for me to sign that he has read.
Right. Steven Sawyer was his name.
And he gave away the ending. Around other people say, hey, they haven't read it yet. Don't give away the ending.
Steven Sawyer, he was great, right? We had some fun with him because I was like, man, you're all in. He was wearing the Super Bowl jacket that had all the logos. But then, like, oh, my gosh, yeah, talk about a guy. Your book, he's warming up to me and telling me the 1986 Giants are his favorite team ever. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had a great background, the backdrop of the, you know, Mandalay Bay sports book with all the stuff and the screens and all that. Here you go. Look, there we go.
That's Brian Mitchell.
Brian Mitchell.
With a walk-on. See, unexpected.
Brian Mitchell, like a legend, kick returner, punt returner. Washington Commanders, you know, Redskins back in the day, used to, you know, a bunch of other teams too, but phenomenal football player. One thing I'm looking at in these clips is going, man, I should have put makeup on because I have a very shiny forehead in all of those videos so far.
So, and you talked about possibly doing it, but then you're just like,
I just like the hell of it, you know.
You would have had a hard time in your condition putting the makeup on yourself.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that. You're right. Yeah. I just was not in the mood to do that right there.
We also embarrassed Shereen Williams and Miles Simmons by calling them up at the end and acknowledging the fact that on the days when you don't feel like working, they end up having to work in your place. But they appreciated it.
Oh, they're great. You got a great team, man. You should be proud of what you do. And like, I don't do it. I don't never do it with other than when I'm really sick, right? But I've had a few with Miles where I've been like, man, I don't feel 100%. And I go, well, damn, Miles is in California.
He's
I
feel get the bad call for at 3:30 in the morning.
Can you help save Chris and do the show? And that's it's definitely made me suck it up a few times when I've had a cold or whatever else to come into work.
It really was a lot of fun. We appreciate everybody that showed up. And you can check out the whole thing. It'll be on YouTube. It'll be on the podcast platforms. Will have clips of it throughout PFT, although it's tough real estate this week to get anything onto PFT other than the great guests that we've had. We had plenty of them yesterday. We're going to have more today. We're going to have some after the show. TJ Watt is going to show up at some point and walk on, and we will have a conversation with
him. Lawrence Taylor. We'll
maybe
see.
Lawrence Taylor.
He's being very
that'd
Lawrence be Taylor-ish, okay? And he's late.
Well, you said when you saw Lawrence Taylor
at
morning, there's no way it's happening.
I was like, what? Lawrence Taylor, 9:15
PM,
in Vegas?
PM, yes. Yeah. AM, no.
AM? There's no way that'll kick off on time. No way. So I can't wait till he gets here because I'm going to bust on him and tell him that Dad told him, Phil said you'd be late and all that, and we'll see if we can get a rise out of him.
So after we got finished last night with the Joint Mega Picks podcast, I went and got my wife, changed clothes real quick, got in a car, took forever to get out to the main drag to go to the Sphere to watch the U2 show there. Man, that was something. Remember when Mad Dog was telling us that he didn't do the LSD when he was in boarding school? I felt like I did the LSD.
Yeah, right.
I've never done it.
I've never done it,
and that's beforehand. That's what they show you. That's what's on the big giant indoor screen.
Right.
We're inside the Death Star. And then once it starts, they're playing the music and like the bricks start to bust and the whole thing blows open. And it is just, at one point, I thought the floor was going up.
I saw the video of it so far because there's stuff falling.
There's
from
stuff
the sky,
falling,
right?
And
so
and
you feel like
and
you're
I
going.
And I wasn't ready for that.
Right.
And it's like, holy, the floor.
Am
like
I
something's
moving?
Going on here? The floor is raising. It was crazy.
Right.
There's points where it feels like you're outside in the daylight. You're outside at dusk.
That's
you're in
incredible.
The desert. It really is amazing what they've put together there. I went for two straight hours. It was great.
I can only imagine because I'm like literally, like, utterly impressed by the outside of this damn thing. I mean, everybody I have talked to, and I had a driver driving me around last night, and he even heard me on the phone because I think he's here. Like, look at these shots.
It's amazing.
I mean, you drive by, and you're like, wait, is that the actual Chiefs helmet?
Sorry again,
49ers
Raiders.
Helmet? I mean, some of the stuff you see, it is incredible. It does not look real. It looks like there's animation out on the, like this huge animation, just like in life. It's indescribable, and it's definitely going to be something for a lot of people to check out when they get here. Look at this stuff.
There's a lot of deep cuts. I think they play every song from the Octoon Baby album. I'm not like that ardent
You're
of a U2 fan to know.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of songs I didn't know.
Okay.
It was still enjoyable,
right.
But they could have done 2 hours of songs that we've all heard of, and that would have been more enjoyable.
So they broke out
some
new
songs?
Like,
they didn't do Sunday Bloody Sunday. No, they one of their albums from, like, 40 years ago, Octung Baby, they played, I think, the whole album, and then they interspersed it with other things, and then they do an encore with, like, Beautiful Day and With or Without You and songs that everybody knows, Where the Streets Have No Name. So, but it was just great, the whole experience. And there was a point where they kind of sell it down a little bit because it really, I mean, that goes up, and stuff is cascading down, and it's, everything's moving.
What were
was
you drinking?
Wild. Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
What a dork.
Nothing. I still had my two margaritas in me from
Jeez, you
pocket.
Went to the Sphere and saw U2, and you didn't have one
Let me
drink?
Try We got there barely on time, okay. And then when it was time to take our seats, we didn't have a whole lot of time. We went and grabbed some chips.
Nobody around you had some good some M&M's stuff or anything
that? I smelled it at one point.
All right.
I smelled it at one point. Nobody passed it my way. I would have puffed. If they had passed, I would have puffed.
Damn. That's when you need me there, because I would have puffed and passed.
I just would have grabbed your vape pen.
For you. Right. Yeah.
I should get a vape pen while I'm here.
Yeah, you should.
I should.
Everything. They say the biggest dispensary in the world is right down the street. Yeah. I did want to check that out, but I don't think I'm going to have time.
Okay, so something we haven't talked much about the past few days because we've had so many guests on the program, the
Super Bowl?
Super Bowl. And well, we still have the issue about Joe Tooney.
Right.
Well, we haven't talked about it in this setting.
Right.
Joe Tooney, only player not to practice for the Chiefs on Wednesday. Coach Andy Reid says he would bet on Nick Allegretti starting at left guard on Sunday.
Right.
Tooney has a pectoral injury. He missed the AFC Championship, and it worked well without him against the Ravens. And Justin Madubuike, and you were concerned that they were going to crash through the middle of the line that way. So it held up in the AFC Championship game. It looks like he's going to have to hold up again now.
Yeah, it is a big, a big part of this football game. I mean, Joe Tooney is an all-pro guard. He is arguably the best pass-protecting guard in all of football. That's really what he's really good at. Run game is not necessarily his MO. He's good at that, but he's special at pass protection. Right, Allegretti was an issue as far as we were concerned about it in the Ravens football game, in the AFC Championship game. But at the same time, held his own, right, Mike? But there were, as the game went on, Madubuike did start to have his way on Allegretti, right? And that does concern me. I did a little exercise for my podcast on Monday about like the top 10, you know, most non-important QBs in the football game. And one of the people I brought up along this line was Javon Hargrave, because he's a guy, hey, they paid a lot of money for Javon Hargrave in free agency. He's supposed to be a superstar. He's had a good year, but not a great year. Here's a game where he can make the good year become great if you can dominate a guy that's been basically a career backup at guard and an offensive lineman. So can they take advantage of that matchup? That'll be interesting. One of the great things about the Chiefs that we've talked about is it's hard to get to them when it's just the front four. But if you can find a mismatch and Hargrave can dominate on a consistent basis, that will change the dynamics of the football game a little bit and change how the Chiefs have to approach passing the ball, and that could be interesting.
He was that guy for the Eagles last year. The 49ers paid him a bunch of money, uncharacteristically broke the bank for somebody outside the team. And, yeah, this is an opportunity for him to earn his money, and we see T.J. Watt.
T.J. Watt is lurking.
He's got that aura, that vibe.
Well, he has
you
that
know
look.
When T.J. Watt's around.
T.J. Watt.
Especially because he can smell that a quarterback is nearby.
No, exactly.
And he wants to hit you.
T.J.
Watt
has
an overwhelming urge to hit a quarterback.
He stares at you like you're a taco, and he might hit you.
T.J. Watt joining us now. T.J., how are you, man? Good to see you.
No,
TJ, do you just have like a sixth sense when there's a quarterback around that you just want to go hit a guy like Chris Sims, even though you probably don't even know that he was a quarterback at one point? You can just sense it?
Yeah, especially when he's talking smack about Taco Boy. I mean, it only makes you want to do it more.
You're funny. Are you a, you know, like there's some defensive ends I played in football, right, that before the game they might have said, hey, what's up to the quarterback or whatever. And there was others that were like, no effing way am I going to even look at the quarterback or make him feel even comfortable. What's kind of your approach before a football game usually along that line?
No talking.
No talking.
I mean, it's no, I mean, at like halfway through the game or something, if you're close, it'll be like, hey, respect your game or
right,
something. Or
right.
Hold on to the ball a little bit longer for me or something like that.
Right.
Nothing beforehand, no.
Yeah. You would like to keep the intimidation factor alive, right?
100%.
100%, yeah.
You guys had a crazy year, and everybody writes off the Steelers, and then the Steelers just find a way to get it done. How much do you hear the outside noise? You got a lot of people in Pittsburgh who want more, and they are loud. Do you hear any of that stuff? And if so, what impact does it have?
I mean, I'd be lying if I said we didn't hear at least some of it. You can't, I mean, today's day and age, you can't block everything out.
Right.
It's just a matter of galvanizing everybody and understand that the only people that are going to solve our problems are the people in this locker room and the people in that building. And that's why Mike T is so great at what he does, is being able to motivate us, keep us very even keel, whether we're too high, too low. Just being able to motivate us, put us in pads if we need to put pads on.
Yeah, you guys
like
are famous
that.
For that.
Yeah. Things like that. We tackle every day in training camp. We build in adversity in training camp so that when it comes in the season, we understand what to do. We know the challenges are going to come. It's just a matter of attacking them when they do, and a lot of credit goes to Mike T for that.
Yeah, do you guys get tired of it? Like, you get tired of this, that Mike T, like, oh, they should move on for him? I know you guys got great respect for him. He's a defensive guy. He's as real as it can be, right?
Yeah.
You know, don't you get sick of defending them?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't ever get tired of saying good things about them.
I know,
it's true.
Right.
It's true. It really is. And none of this is a front. That's truly how we all feel about him.
Yeah.
I feel like if it's not, that part would have got out already, but it hasn't. And he's a great coach for a reason.
Help us understand this, TJ, because we talk about it all the time. He takes the parts, whatever the parts are, and he gets more out of what you would expect those guys to do. He somehow works his magic. Can you give us something tangible that he does to inspire guys to come together and play better as a unit than maybe you would say if those 11 guys were slapped together they should play?
I think it's a holding everybody accountable type thing as far as in the film room. When we come in the team meeting room, you don't know what he's going to show you. Everybody kind of has a little nervous feel. We're all looking around at each other like, what play? You know, and when that play
right,
pops up, you
right.
immediately know before he even hits play, like, oh, it's my play.
I set the edge here.
You could be talking to him outside the meeting room, like, cool, how's the family? How's everything going? Really nice. And all of a sudden you get in there, and that play comes like, we were just cool outside, and now you're gonna roast me in front of the whole team.
Right.
So it's that accountability aspect of in team meetings, the offense goes over their spiel a little bit, so the defense knows what the expectations are for the offense and vice versa.
Right.
So it helps us kind of hold each other accountable on the football field.
When did you know you were just like a freak of nature? Like, was there a point in high school, college? When did you start to realize, like, whoa, me and my brother JJ are kind of on a different level than everybody as far as power, explosion, strength, all those type of things?
I don't know. I mean, I'm always labeled as not the fastest, not the strongest, the lunch pail guy, you know. And I have incredible self-belief. I really do. And it's because of the people that I'm surrounded with that see the hard work and dedication. And I've always had the blueprint from Jaden and Derek of what it takes. And I just want to be great. I know that I don't have a whole lot of time to play this game. I have such a small window, and I want to give everything I possibly can. And it's all about who I surround myself with and people that believe in me. And I love this job, man.
The most serious fight between the Watt brothers growing up. Like, I remember your brother joking on Saturday Night Live, like, your mom would throw the controller in the basement and be like, fight for it, right, or something like
it
that.
It would be over something stupid. Honestly, it would probably be over a video game of some sort. Derek or JJ was probably beating me 100-2, and I got upset,
right,
and we started brawling.
And it'd get real, like, punches
thrown,
wrestling, like, headlock kind of thing?
See, the thing with JJ is, he's 5 and a half years old than me, so it's more of a punch, and then run as fast as you can, and then he'll swoop you and then give you a couple of dead arms.
Right.
Me and Derek could duke it out a little bit more.
Right.
But yeah, it was always a fair share of fights growing up.
It's just, I mean, roughhousing.
That's funny to think of him running away from anybody, right?
But the idea of growing up roughhousing with J.J. Watt, that's the best possible preparation for a career in professional football that I could imagine.
I played Tips 21 with my brothers growing up, and I was never, like, the hoop was always at 10 feet. I think I got, like, one rebound, and every shot was blocked.
It
must have worked to some extent.
Yeah, mental toughness.
Yeah.
I was at the Week 2 Monday night game against the Browns. And, man, when they play Renegade, it really is special. Why does it work? Why does it keep working for the players when that happens?
I mean, anytime you get 75-plus thousand people on their feet waving terrible towels, the camera goes out, the screen goes black, and they start showing highlights, you feel it's tangible. You feel the energy in the place, and it makes you want to give these people exactly what they're looking for, and that's a turnover, a big splash play. And it's always played in the most important series of the game.
And you did it that night. You were the one who did it that night.
Well, Alex Highsmith, what are you talking about, the fumble
recovery?
That's another example of it all. I fumble recoveries are cool, but it's all about the person that forces the fumble.
Yeah,
Alex Highsmith had a hell of a season, and he came up in big moments like that. He had one against the Ravens as well, too. So, I mean, we have a lot of splash factor on our defense.
He's loves the Vikings, right?
Mm-hmm.
But after the Vikings and Justin Jefferson,
this?
You are his second. He's a fanboy of you, okay? He
I
loves the Steelers.
That.
He lives close to there, right?
Okay.
He won't totally embrace
fine.
It.
This
he's bought
fine.
Justin Jefferson a gift. He hasn't bought you a gift.
No. That's not how it works.
I just want to let you know.
That's not
like,
how it
you're
works.
You're a second
it's
favorite
It's crazy
player.
How many Steeler fans I meet face-to-face. And for the first time, I'm hearing they're Steeler fans.
Well, yeah. Like, he's a Vikings fan that like revolted against his family who were big Steelers fans as a kid.
I grew up in Wheeling, 60 miles away. You know where Wheeling is? You've lived there long enough now. Wheeling's just down the road in West Virginia in the Northern Panhandle. Everybody in Wheeling was Steelers fans, so I had to be different. Imagine that. I got to be different.
Yeah.
And I've known and followed the Steelers for 50 years. finger on the pulse. Yep. I know the vibe. I know when it's going to turn around. That's why I drive him crazy all the time. We pick games against each other.
Yep.
He'll pick against you guys.
Oh,
the Ravens game. The Ravens game.
Yeah.
This
is a TJ Watt late strip sack fumble game.
I don't care. You can tell me all the stats. You can tell me everything you want to tell me. The Steelers are going to win this game, and it drives him crazy when it happens.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
This is pasta and meatballs. All right, who's the best O-lineman in football right now? Like the one guy when you play them, you're just like, damn, it's him. Crap.
I don't know if I ever am, like, intimidated I'd say a guy that I think is doing it at a really high level. I rush on the left always, so I go against a lot of right tackles. I think Lane Johnson, I mean, being able to kick back as quickly as he is, and he has great hands, feet, I think he's...
Long as hell.
One of the best, for sure.
Right, yeah, I hear you there. What about other pass rushers? I know you respect all of them. I hear you talk about it often, but, like, who's the guy you're always a little bit like, wow?
Danielle Hunter had a great year. Yeah. I think he has a lot of very unique moves. I mean, that guy is ripped up. He's got
Long scary.
Arms. He has really unique
moves. Yeah, what do you
moves.
Mean by the unique moves? Like, unpack like, that for us a little.
It's almost like a praying mantis. The way that he rushes, he grabs onto the arm. He has this jump through, and then he has this like fake grab on where it looks the same, and then he spins at the last minute.
Wow.
Tried that a couple times in practice, and it's not built for me. I think Max Crosby has a hell of a motor, a guy that has a lot of pass rushes. I mean, there's so many guys in the league that are just doing it at an elite level right now, outside and inside.
Right.
Week 2, 2018, you played in the game. The Chiefs came to town. What did you know about Patrick Mahomes before that game, and what did you find out?
We didn't know enough. We definitely didn't know enough. We left that stadium with a whole lot of respect. He still had some weapons. I think Sammy Watkins was on that team as well at that
Tyreek.
Time. Yep. Tyreek. So, I mean, the guy was throwing the ball all around the yard. Probably thought they were going to run the ball a little bit more that day, but they didn't, and we learned a lesson that day.
What jumps out to you about them as a whole, since you've gotten those experiences and played against them in the playoffs and done all that, right? Well, you know, when you're on the field, what's kind of special about the Chiefs and their magic?
It's the consistency. Yeah. And you need to keep the foot on the gas no matter what the situation is or what the scoreboard is, because they always have an opportunity to come back because of 15.
Like, you hear him, like, do you hear him yelling at his guys, right? I mean...
I'm usually catching my breath.
You're catching your breath.
So I can't hear that part. But, I mean, they obviously have great continuity. They really do, and they seem to gel really well, and that's what leads to success.
Do you think differently about rushing Mahomes when it's, because we know he's a buyer of time, he floats, he does all that. Like, is there a different plan of attack when you're playing a guy like him?
It's always hard because, everybody seems to be mobile these days now.
Yeah.
It's very difficult as a pass rusher. We always say don't rush scared. But when you don't wear scared, you have to send sometimes more than just four rushers.
Right, to clog the lanes a little bit.
It creates big B-gap escape lanes and things like that. But I think the worst thing you can do is just bull rush all day long and not create any pressure or havoc. You at least have to get him moving and uncomfortable, even though he's still effective.
Right.
Hey, by the way, when you played them in Kansas City in the playoffs, I picked you guys to win. And when you scored that touchdown early and it was 7-0, he was shitting his pants. Sorry, Birmingham.
Most of the first half.
So how different does the playoff game go this year if you'd been able to play in it in Buffalo?
I don't know, and we'll never know. So that's one of those things. But I would have loved to be able to play. If I played, it wouldn't have been at 100%, but I still would have loved to have an opportunity to play. But it was probably the best thing for my knee to be able to take rehab the right way now, and I feel great where I am right now.
All right, well, we know you're a good pass rusher, but we haven't heard you. I've seen you tackle a taco.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what you got here, Mr. USAA.
Yeah, so I've partnered with USAA, the official NFL Salute to Service partner. We're gifting tickets to Staff Sergeant Adam Alexander and his father-in-law. Sergeant Alexander was over in Afghanistan fighting for our country when he was struck by enemy sniper.
Right.
He was given a 5% chance to live. He defeated those odds. He's doing well back in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. That's
awesome.
Why it's close to me.
Cool.
We're gonna have him out here. He does some work for disabled American veterans as well. Going to get to meet him tomorrow, and more than anything, just express how grateful I am. I mean, we're sitting here talking about football and living out our dreams and doing the things that we love because of those guys that sacrifice, give the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. And I just want to say thank you more than anything. So I'm really looking forward to
that. We thank them, too. I mean, this isn't even possible without them doing their job right now. They're part of the security. And, I mean, we got people like that defending the airspace here. I mean, yeah.
That was the comment recently after the soldiers were killed in the Middle East. It's 1% that protects the other 99%, and we can't do what we do without them being willing to give everything, literally everything,
right,
for the rest of us. TJ?
Yeah. I want to ask you one, because you did play the 49ers early in the year, right? I don't want to give all the love to the Chiefs, but, like, you know, give us your just, you know, little inside info on what it was like playing the 49ers.
I think our big thing going into that game was that I think they had the number one yards after contact or yards after catch, whatever it was,
right,
at every position.
Debo over the middle, Kittle over the middle, right.
McCaffrey.
Juszczyk, McCaffrey.
So every position group, they're elite when the ball is in their hands.
Right.
And they all can do different things. They all can do the same thing, but different bodies.
Right,
so everything
right.
looks the same until it's not.
Right.
So that's kind of the big challenge. They do a lot of shifts and motions, and obviously you get Trent Williams pulling and all those things. So it's a tough challenge. It really is.
Yeah, yeah. We're looking forward to it. You got a pick? You, like, leaning one way?
I think the Chiefs, but unless that pass rush really gets going for the 49ers, Javon Hargrave, I played with him. I think he's a great pass rusher, and don't leave that guy one-on-one.
Yeah, we were just talking because Tooney's doesn't sound like he's going to play, so it's going to be Allegretti, and I was kind of just saying that's the mismatch to be had right there, right?
Yep.
Hargrave taking advantage of that. Got to get that four after Mahomes, right? You can't be blitzing too much.
Were you happy that the Ravens lost? Do you like?
I don't care. At the end of the day, well, I'm not playing in the Super Bowl, so I don't really care who else
screw
is
them
playing
all.
It. Yep, exactly.
All right, awesome. On that note, TJ Watt, thanks for some of your time, pal. We'll be back with more PFT Live from Las Vegas right after this.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Great seeing you.
Take care.
Good luck with everything.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Friday. It's almost like whoever named Friday knew it should be celebrated with free fries. Free Fries Friday at McDonald's. Get a free medium fries with any purchase of a dollar or more on the McDonald's app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Offer valid through 9:30 at participating in McDonald's. Excludes tax.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Everyone prefers to be liked, but is it a role that you kind of enjoy in a way? Do you feed off of that?
Not necessarily. I think I just like winning. If you win a lot and that causes you to be a villain, then I'm okay with it. But at the end of the day, I'm going to enjoy playing the game and try to win as much as possible.
Patrick Mahomes has no problem with being the villain. Look, that goes with competitive sports. You're beating teams. The fans of the teams you beat don't like you. They hated Tom Brady. They hated Peyton Manning.
Right.
They hated your dad.
Right.
You hated Joe Montana.
Right.
That's the way it goes.
That's the way it goes, right? I mean,
if you hadn't lost your spleen, somebody would end up hating you.
Well, it just
now they hate you for other reasons entirely.
Exactly right. But yeah, it is. You know, it becomes, hey, it's not only personal to my team. I'm sick of Mahomes and the Chiefs beating my team. And then it's, man, I'm sick of seeing them in the championship game every year. And it kind of filters, you know, down that way. And all of a sudden, he's, yes, become the guy where everybody's like, it's hilarious because he's not even capable of, like, really being mean almost in a way. You know, he's got such a great way about him. But, yeah, the whole country's sick of the Chiefs and sick of Mahomes, and they didn't want to see him in the Super Bowl.
Especially since it's
now
all part of
a
political
psyop. Of course, right.
Rig the election.
Everything's fucking political. Sorry, Birmingham.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, no. All right. On that note, here's a little Kyle Shanahan from yesterday before we say something else we shouldn't say about the quality of the practice field at UNLV.
I got something to say.
Yeah, we had a normal practice.
And you practice there the rest of the week?
Oh, yeah. We're not going to change our whole schedule up. We'd have to go too early in the morning, mess everything up. So this is the best choice we got.
Are you satisfied with that choice?
We're here. We're practicing on it. I mean, everyone has their preferences and wish things were better, but we'll deal with the field how it is.
The commissioner on Monday said the field is playable and basically said the union agrees. the union at a press conference on Wednesday, which was not invitation only for some reason.
Right.
But the union at their press conference said there's a difference between playable and what the quality of the field should be
for professional for
practice
athletes who
for
are making millions
the Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Right.
Playable and ideal
right.
are two different things.
Listen, I'm tired of that stuff from the NFL. I'm tired
well,
again.
You know what
me?
Happened last year? And I had somebody else tell me this again this week. After last year's Super Bowl,
right.
when it was a slip and slide,
right.
the commissioner told the owners at the press conference, I'm told, per source with knowledge of the situation, it was the player's fault because right. he didn't change their shoes.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the league's fault. It's never the league's fault.
He said that the other day at his press conference. He said he thinks the field's fine. I mean, Rodgers amazing at running the league and all of that, but he doesn't play football and he doesn't put cleats on. So I don't really understand how he has a say in the conversation, honestly. Right? And it is. It's just, it's embarrassing for the point that you made. It's a sport where they're going to make $90 billion this weekend, and they can't get a practice field for the team that's going to entertain us all. And it's the right way. Right? Can they make do? Can they practice? Sure. But you could tell with Shanahan and the way he is right there, he's watching what he says. He wants to say probably the same thing you're saying and I'm saying right now. Like, are you kidding me? We get to the Super Bowl, and now here in the biggest moment, the biggest practices of our year, we're kind of on a field that's made for a bunch of high school kids or whatever else, you know? UNLV football and their standards. I'm sorry, UNLV football. No disrespect.
Well, they have artificial turf. They have artificial turf.
Right.
They rolled grass over the turf with nothing in between it.
Crazy. Right.
So
that's the issue.
What Kyle would call it is something that has three initials, CSO. Chicken is the first word. Operation is the last word.
Yeah.
That's what he would call it.
Because
that's what it is. When something like this happens and you don't have an acceptable, high-level, perfect, pristine grass field for one of your conference champions to practice on in preparation for the Super Bowl, it is chicken bleep operation.
Two things that I think are bothering both things. All right, so you got that with the 49ers in the field, and I know from both the Chiefs and the 49ers, I've heard from people too there, the other thing they're annoyed with so far this week is no police escorts, right? So they're getting stuck in traffic just like Joe Schmo is that's coming to watch media Radio Row. And it's messing with both teams' schedules, right? I mean, an NFL football team is on a tight schedule on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of a game week. It is literally like, it's like, you know, have a meeting, have 4 minutes off, have another meeting, you know, go get a snack an hour later, and you get a 10-minute break, and it's another meeting. Then it's a meeting, and go get dressed, and you have 10 minutes to get dressed, and we're going to have a walkthrough. And then we're going to come back in, and we're going to watch the film of the walkthrough, and then you're going to eat lunch real quick, and then we're going to get have another meeting, and we're going to go out and have a real practice and have more meetings after that. And a few little, you know, things that throw you off schedule, all of a sudden you're going, wait, you know, we were supposed to have this meeting at 3:30, now it's 4:45, and the day gets away from you, and that's not the way it should be for the Super Bowl week. It should be as smooth as possible.
Now, what someone from 345 Park Avenue would say to that is it's the same for both teams.
Yeah.
But I get the impression it probably is more of an annoyance for Kyle than it would be for Andy Reid and the Chiefs, because he's kind of like, we'll just go with it. We'll adapt. We'll adjust. We're delayed. It'll be fine. This will be fine.
Right.
Whereas Kyle has his plan, and he wants to execute his plan, and damn it, why is this happening?
Right.
I can see him getting frustrated more than Andy.
Yeah, I can too, right? And, you know, I think that's where, you know, you talk about sometimes Shanahan has that Belichick way about him. That would be one area I would say it is. It's detailed, it's maximization of the day, right? That's where, you know, he believes in, that's what they are as an organization. And just like any head football coach, they get annoyed when their day starts to get screwed up by things that are not really football related. So, we'll see where all this goes.
Kyle Shanahan knows a thing or two about coaching because his dad knows more than a thing or two about coaching. Here's Kyle from yesterday talking about the advantage of having a dad who was a coach who was the great Mike Shanahan. Have a listen.
I mean, being a coach's son, very fortunate to just be around it so much, and especially at the NFL level. My dad went to the NFL when I was 4 years old, so just being around it almost my whole life, you don't realize how much it helps you until you get in it, and you just realize a lot of the stuff you've been around, and it makes it a little easier. But, I mean, I think not only was a son of a coach, but my dad's the best coach I've ever been around. And so to be around that good of one, I think also was a huge advantage for me. And I mean, he never was really training me to be a coach. He was just being my dad. And I mean, just the way he went about everything, just how direct he was with people, how honest he was with people, how hard he worked. Maybe he didn't always like what he had to say, but he was going to tell you the truth. And just as a son and as someone you work with, to me, that's all you can ask from people.
I would never bullshit. I didn't mean it in bad light.
Chris Sims was talking to Warren Sapp there for a second. What was Warren saying to you? Can it be repeated?
Not totally, no. I mean, yes. He doesn't like my version of a story that I told. So, either way, we'll get it straightened out. But I can promise you the story I told is the correct version, 100%.
What story? Well, we'll talk about it.
It's just about him when I used to carry his bags.
Oh, and he'd throw $20
right,
bills on the ground.
Right,
he'd
exactly
have to get
right.
a skull.
Right,
yeah.
right. So he didn't like one of the elements I put into the story, but it was just the truth. So.
He said something to me, and I'm not quite sure what it was. I think he's mad because there's been times he's texted me, and I thought that the best approach would be silence.
Just to get away?
Just
okay.
not respond.
Right.
Because there's no good way out of that.
Right, right.
No good way out of that.
I did hear what Shanahan said there, right? So I do want to comment on that because I got to see that combination, right? I went to college with Kyle. I got to see Coach Shanahan and how he was a father and balanced, you know, being a Super Bowl coach and being a great father. You know, it was not your, like, hey, Kyle, you got to do this, this, and this to be a head coach in the NFL. You know, I think Kyle knew he wanted to be a head coach. Mike certainly would have him around. You've seen the old NFL films things where he's on the sidelines in the Super Bowl holding the wires for his dad, doing all that.
He was the last one to hold wires. Last one ever to hold wires.
That's crazy. But there was never pressure or, like, you got to do it this way. And Kyle, you know, really wanted to be a part of it. And that was when he was playing receiver at Texas with me there, he was, I'm going to be a coach one day. He was determined to be that. Right. And it's just he's continued that journey and attacked it, you know, with great passion. And that's why he's one of the best coaches in football.
There's a lot of criticism of nepotism in the NFL, but there is a tangible benefit to having someone who is around it.
The family business a little
life.
Right.
It's the family business.
Right.
I've been around it. I'm not intimidated by it.
Right.
I understand what needs to be done. I understand how to do it. I've learned from the mistakes that I've witnessed while growing up, and I'm able to just go in and not be freaked out and just do the job. Here he comes.
Whoa.
Drew Brees.
Whoa.
Joining us now with
DB9
a trophy.
DB9 is
a big trophy.
DB9.
What's up, Drew? How are you, buddy? Good to see you.
Great.
All right.
We're great. It's good to have you back, man.
Yeah.
You're an old
back
friend of the family, NBC.
Set. Let's go.
Here he is.
Thanks for having me back.
No, come
good
on, man.
You
You're always welcome to come back. Like, seriously.
And let me tell you something. You look great. Yeah. For a guy who got hit by lightning, you look great.
Yeah, that got blown way out of proportion. That was not supposed to go down like that. That relationship ended fairly quickly after that.
What's going on, man? What's going on in life? How's everything going right now?
Everything is great, man.
Yeah.
Raising kids.
Yep.
Yeah. Boys
full-time
are 15,
dad
13,
over here.
11. Daughter's
wow.
9. Yeah. Lots of youth sports and gymnastics
right.
and all that fun stuff. So,
yeah. Cool.
Yeah, life's good.
I mean, just to hit it off, right, because we want to ask you some personal questions, of course, but, like, just the matchup of the game itself. Let's just dive right into that,
sure.
right? Kind of what jumps out to you about both these teams, where they're at right now, and kind of how they're playing?
Yeah, you know, we'll start with San Fran.
Right.
You know, I think I would have expected San Fran to play maybe more consistently during the playoffs.
I hear you, right.
You know, like,
it feels like they haven't played their best ball in about 6 or 7 weeks,
It doesn't, but I feel like they needed to win games the way that they won those two games,
right?
Packers go in there. Packers were on fire.
Right.
I mean, Packers could
controlled
have won
the game.
Yeah, controlled
probably should have won
exactly.
It. Right.
And yet, Niners find a way to win. When they needed to put together a drive, they did. Tough conditions, right, all that stuff.
Yep.
That was a huge confidence boost for them, for Purdy.
Yeah.
Then you go into that Lions game, and, man, the Lions, right? Like, first half, 24-7, I'm thinking.
Yeah, like,
right?
This might be over, right?
Right. And the way that they mounted that comeback, I mean, you knew they were going to kind of make a run at it, and some things had to happen in their favor, right?
Yep.
But what impressed me there was, with all this talk about Purdy being a system quarterback and all this stuff, what did he do? He went outside the system.
Right, right.
Took off and ran on three different occasions to extend drives, first downs. Like, that lit the place on fire,
it
right?
Did. It did.
And then they go down, they get points, they come back and win. So that, to me, showed that, man, this guy is much more than maybe what we've given him credit for thus far.
Right,
I think he's ready for the big moment. I love his poise. I love his command of the offense.
Yeah.
Look no further than the way his teammates talk about him.
Right.
His teammates love him.
He's got Drew Brees-ish stuff with him. He's not as talented as you are. I'm just going to say that flat out, right? Because people have asked me about you. Is you like Drew Brees? And I'm like, Drew's arm is better than people realize. Drew's athleticism in their prime. I think if they went back and watched you, they'd be like, damn, I forgot Drew could move and throw it like that, right? But he's got some of that sixth sense, timing, feel, yeah. Drew Brees stuff that I knew you would like.
I saw it this week. They right. said my 40 time was 1/100th
right.
better than Purdy.
Damn, leaving him in the dust.
You know what I'm saying? Right?
in the dust.
Actually, Purdy impressed me with his athleticism. But like the shorter quarterbacks, like timing and rhythm.
Yeah.
And this West Coast offense, right? Timing, rhythm, right. progression. First hitch here, second hitch. Know where the ball can go. Don't take the sack.
Right.
A pass game extension of the run game, like all that stuff. Look, he executes that extremely well.
Yeah, yeah. Look how he tucks his shoulder in like he's still playing quarterback there.
You
he's doing it.
The point you were making earlier, though, about, and Steve Young talked about this yesterday, the spatial relationship where your body is in relation to all the others. Is that something that's just instinctive, or can it be learned over time to know I can get from here to here, or I can make this throw before this guy gets over, where you just understand how it all fits together as it's happening?
Yeah, I mean, Sean Payton used to use this term. It's like paint the picture. And then also understand the progression. A lot of cases, you build an offensive system or route concepts around high to low reads, right?
Yeah, right?
Like it's deep to intermediate to outlet, right?
Right,
or
right.
it's inside triangle, right?
Yeah.
Like it's bolt to bolt to
right,
bolt, right?
Right.
And then your feet are talking to you the whole time.
Right.
First hit, you're throwing shallow cross. Second hit, you're throwing over the ball.
Right.
Third hit, you're here to your check burst or whatever it is.
Right.
So, like, that's very much the way that you're teaching it, and it's what creates the rhythm for a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah, it's cool. All right, so now talk about the quarterback who never has rhythm and just floats around and does stuff that we all go, holy crap.
Yeah.
And, give us your thoughts on the Chiefs.
The minute you sell them short, right?
Right. There's no way they're making a run this year.
I think they're as good defensively right now,
right,
as they've
ever been. I would agree.
And obviously the attention goes to Mahomes and the playmaking ability and Kelce and all that. I mean, look, Rice has come on as a young receiver, but they really don't have
a guy, right?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so this is the Mahomes show.
Yeah.
Look, they're running the football as well as they've ever run it.
Right.
So if you really want to know what's the reason for the success of the Chiefs, they're playing outstanding defense, and they are running the football.
Yeah,
and man, that takes so much pressure off the Q.
Right.
Now the Q is still gonna
make his plays. Right.
But I would say this: like, there were times, and even going back to when we were sitting at the desk together back in 2021,
right.
There was a stretch in that season where, and it's happened now for each season for the Chiefs, where you're watching the film and you're like, gosh, they lack creativity, and it's just
right,
like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
There's no rhythm, there's no purpose to what they're doing.
Exactly, right.
But
right.
man, like the second half of the season with them, I've seen a change.
They've started to figure it out,
and there
right?
is some really cool stuff they're doing
right.
to get coverage keys,
yeah.
to like spread the defense
right.
out, to give Mahomes like a
the
great vision
picture,
for what's
right?
happening.
Yeah.
So they're just doing a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
What was your assessment of Sean Payton's return to the NFL in Denver this year? Big picture.
Yeah. Look, it kind of played out the way I thought it would, honestly. I think Russell has a skill set, and I think Russell is still going to be able to go and have a great, rest of his career
right.
Elsewhere. As I watched the them play this year, it didn't feel like the timing, the rhythm, the tempo
was there.
That I'm used to seeing
right.
in a Sean Payton offense.
Right.
And I know those are the hallmarks of the offense. That's the standard that has been set.
Right.
And so, look, I don't know the inner workings. I don't know what's happened behind the scenes or anything else. But I know that, look, they've got a talented roster.
Yeah.
They'll continue to build that. They've got an ownership group that's going to provide whatever resources they need for Sean Payton to win. And I know this. Sean is an excellent communicator, and he is an excellent orchestrator of
right.
like, here's what we need to win. Here's the culture. Here's the standard of excellence.
Yep.
And now it's plugging the pieces in place to get that done.
Answer this for me, Drew. As it relates to the rhythm and timing things that happen during the play, how much of the things that happen or don't happen pre-snap is part of what happens post-snap?
You gather so much information pre-snap. And a lot of that's just preparation, right? Like, I mean, The front would tell me two coverages are going to be. They only played two coverages out of that front,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
So now it's just a matter of process of elimination.
Where is the safety going to go?
Yeah, exactly. Right, so much pre-snap you can gather. Now, that doesn't mean that you always have the answers, man. They adjust down, or they've got a new wrinkle that you haven't seen before.
Yeah.
But bottom line is, man, you're always having a plan. But I'll tell you how you combat that is tempo,
yeah.
Right? That's what we used to say. This is how we blitz the defense.
Right.
The faster we play, the faster the defense has to be. Oh, yeah. we can't disguise.
Hey, just like, check the simple
coverage. Yeah, we got to get out of that, right?
Right.
So you can dictate a lot of what's happening on the other side with your own tempo.
You talked about, you know, you weren't shocked about Russell and how it worked out there in Denver. You meant that, like, I know you think Russell's got talent. I've heard you talk about it before. But you just didn't see it being, like, a quarterback system fit the right way. Is that kind of where you weren't surprised by the way it kind of, you know, shook out or worked?
Yeah. I think Russell, to me, is not a timing rhythm passer.
Right. He wants to see it.
Yeah.
Right.
Russell's one of the best deep ball throwers in the league.
Right.
And has been for a long time.
Right.
But it's run game, it's read option stuff, it's the RPO game, and then it's the heavy play action, man, let's launch it, or kind of give him these high to low reads,
right?
To me, that's kind of the best system for him.
Yeah, you got a feel for who do you think's out there that Sean Payton's going to, is anybody on your radar that you go?
I can just tell. I
talked to Sean last week.
He already knows.
He told me he's got his eye on this guy. So go ahead, not trying to bullshit your way through this answer. Go ahead.
Exactly. I don't know. I think there's always a shakeup.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
I mean, look, there's some talented guys in the draft.
There's some guys out there, right?
You know, unfortunately, they traded quite a bit to get Russ in the first place, right? So if you're in a position where you love one of these guys and you're going to trade up, you have the assets
to make that move, right?
And then what does that do to your roster moving forward? I think I do know this. You really do have to build your team through the draft,
right?
You can go out in free agency and you can get some core pieces,
right?
Some core leadership pieces, some cultural pieces. But, man, if you're going to build your team within this cap system, you got to do it.
These two teams here. They built through the draft.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, they got a little splash of free agency, but it's mostly draft guys.
How much do you miss playing?
I miss it. I love the game. Yeah. You know?
There's nothing to replace that feeling, is there?
No.
Not that I know it myself. Yeah. He does, but there's nothing to take its place.
The things you miss the most, you miss the locker room, right? I mean, it's hard to replicate that because every day it's just that brotherhood
that's created, everything you do together. Right.
You know, game day. The feeling on game day is hard to replicate too. Like, look, the week for me, and you probably feel like it was turmoil. Like mentally, you're just like, oh, we're installing these new plays, and I gotta get the timing down with my guys.
Then,
well, what if the defense does this? I mean, you're just like running circles in your mind trying to figure it all out.
Knots in your stomach.
But the bottom line is, throughout that week of prep, man, you're just getting all the answers to the test, right? So, and you're winning the game in your mind. Through visualization. So the minute you step on the field on Sunday, you're like, man, I'm the best in the freaking world. Like, nobody can stop me. Give me a chance to win, and we're going to go win this game.
What happened more often when you were dealing with Sean in the midst of that turmoil? Was it you saying to Sean, relax, or was it Sean saying to you, relax?
Me telling Sean to relax?
I think so.
Have you seen him on game day?
Yes.
Huh?
He's a psycho.
He's a nutcase.
He is Mother Evan, the refs, the water boy, everybody, right?
Yeah. I'm just going to say, kill him with kindness. Kill him with kindness.
That's great.
Tell us what's up with FedEx, Drew.
FedEx Air and Ground Players of the Year. FedEx has been doing this for a long time. I had the pleasure of winning this award 4 times during my career. It's an outstanding award. FedEx has been a great NFL partner for a long time. And this year, I'm proud to announce Brock Purdy, Chris McCaffrey, FedEx Air and Ground Players of the Year. First time in history.
Same team.
Teammates.
Wow.
Right? So does that say something for Sunday?
I don't know. Right.
But FedEx is donating $20,000 on behalf of both those players to the HBCU of their choice to fund scholarship programs for
deserving
students.
Incredible.
Awesome. Yep.
Drew,
cool,
great
you're
stuff.
Doing it, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Congrats
Super Bowl
to those
44
guys.
MVP and future Hall of Famer Drew Brees. Great to see you as always, Drew.
Always a pleasure.
You're the man, Drew.
All right.
Yeah, thanks so much.
And we're going to make the hot change. As
hot
we say
change.
Farewell to Drew.
We're going to QB
in
to running back.
Vikings running back Alexander Madison. Thanks, Drew. Take care, buddy. Here he comes.
Drew.
He's back.
Madison has bigger
Alexander
arms
Madison.
Than you. He's got more muscles.
He's got bigger arms than the last time we saw him.
Nice.
How are you, man?
Buddy.
Good to see you, Alex.
Doing all right?
See you again.
How are you, man?
What up? What up?
All right.
Good.
Oh, another Viking on the set. Who sets these up?
I don't know. You? I don't know. Mr. Viking fanboy over here. This is you know that, right, about him?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did that to you before, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, right off the bat, just, you know, what was the year like being the lead man, being the number one dog there at running back for the Minnesota Vikings?
It was nice. It was, I mean, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a roller coaster of a year,
but
you know, it was one of those things, you know, puts things into perspective and lets you know, where you got to go back to the drawing board to try and be the best version of yourself for your team, for your teammates. Definitely during a hard time where, you know, you lose some guys, some key players, you have to try and do what you can to step up. So I think it came with a lot of pressure, came with a lot of different guys trying to do their job, but yeah, one of those seasons.
Well, take us through the roller coaster. Like, take us, what were all the things that kind of you guys felt like, damn, this and this and this. So, what was it all?
I mean, for one, the big roller coaster that we, you know, had, losing Kirk was something that, you know, we couldn't draw up.
Right.
We couldn't plan for. But, I mean, there was a time, I think the turnover battle was
fumble-itis.
Ridiculous.
Right.
I think we were like -9 in the first three games or something like that. And it's one of those things, it's like, how and why is it happening?
Right.
One of those things you just, you know.
It's hard to explain.
The ball is shaped funny, and that's how it is in this game.
How do you stop it from happening? That's the thing. Once you're in that midst where guys keep dropping it, what can be done? What drill is done? What mindset? What meaning?
Yeah.
What can be said to keep it from happening?
I mean, you just go back to the fundamentals. That's what we did, go back to the fundamentals. And it's just about, you know, how bad do you want it? You know, making sure that no matter what you do, you protect the ball, because the hopes and dreams of the football team are in that ball. So it was just a matter of us trying to do what we can to turn that around. And I don't think anyone, you know, practice is not to fumble, but it just, oh man, I couldn't tell you the flip of a coin what the season was.
Practice, like stuff where they do like those kind of drills, somebody tugging at you, and you just bring out all the basically early OTA training camp stuff again, right?
And I mean, we do it every, before we get going and practice,
right?
We do it every day,
right?
It was just a matter of like, all right, we got to add a different component, we got to add something else because I don't know, we couldn't write it down what was happening.
It's got to be so hard to be conscious of trying to hold on to the ball when you're in the middle of it and it's happening in a real game and you're trying to hit the hole and you're trying to avoid this guy, fend this guy off. How can you consciously be thinking, I got to continue to hold on to this football as tight as I possibly can because I never know who's going to come in and try to knock it out of my hand?
Yeah, it's one of those things you start seeing guys run a little funny because
they're so worried
about
it.
I'm in open field with two hands instead of one. It's just one of those things you have to try and do what you can to protect it, you know. And for us, it was the story of the season, was trying to stay even.
Right.
I mean, we didn't lose when we were even. So just at even in the turnover battle was something that we were striving for, and we just, you know, had one of those seasons we had to go back to the drawing board.
It's really crazy because we talked about at one point during the year, you're like you were talking about, you're going through the roller coasters, Kirk, JJ getting hurt for a little bit, all that crap.
Not a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of bit, right.
Oh, man.
But we had a point during the year where it was like, we actually felt like you guys were better this year than last year in a lot of ways, right? It's just like you guys, like you said, just some unlucky breaks, some fumbles. Did you guys kind of have that feeling in the locker room too?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's probably one of the most disappointing feelings, is knowing what we have in that locker room and knowing the team that we had for the season that we put together. Everyone knew. We knew it was our year to go do something special.
And, right.
You know, I guess the odds were stacked against us a little too heavy this year. But I feel, you know, fully confident in the guys that we have coming back and the guys we're going to try and get back in that locker room. And then, you know, whoever else we can add to the pieces of the puzzle. You know, we have an amazing organization, amazing locker room.
Yeah.
So have full faith in what we were able to put together this offseason and
bounce back.
When you get into this carousel of quarterbacks from Kirk Cousins to Jaren Hall to Josh Dobbs to Nick Mullins, as a running back who's actually getting the handoff, is it an adjustment when, you know, he comes back, he gives it to me, he moves it here, puts it here, puts it there? I mean, how hard is it for you to make the change from this guy to this guy to this guy when it just comes to getting the ball in your hands?
Definitely is a difference. That's why we don't take it lightly when we do our handoffs in practice. Some people might be like, you know, that's just kind of like cliche, like trying to take a handoff. But, you know, we get our period where we go and we do a QB exchange with the quarterbacks, and it's extremely important because you feel the difference between each quarterback. I mean, I've been taking a handoff from Kirk for 5 years. He kind of knows exactly where to put it for me.
With the play, the right play,
he
and where you might go.
Player, just like with throwing to a receiver, they know how to throw the ball to JJ versus KJ versus TJ, you know.
Right.
But same thing with the handoff. And so getting a feel for how does he hand it off. Is he, you know, has a little bit more of a push than Kirk, or he has less of a push, or a little bit more of a slap in there, then it's all of those things you have to take into account.
You've been around the block a little, right? I mean, you just have some coaches. Like, what makes Kevin O'Connell such a damn good offensive play caller? What's impressed you about it?
I would say that his mentality going into it is he has an attack mentality.
Yeah.
He wants to attack defenses, and, you know, sometimes it's risky,
right?
But the reward is beautiful.
Right.
And so I think that's a beautiful part about the way he calls plays, the way that he trusts us to go out there and execute the plays that he calls. That's one thing that I would say is a lot different about him. He pays attention to the detail, and he draws up plays that are not just successful for the group of guys on the field, but versus the defense. He looks at the defense. What can we do to attack this defense, that defense?
Yeah.
And the details, I'd say, separates him.
We all know Kirk Cousins is headed for free agency unless the Vikings sign him to a new deal before then. What's your approach with Kirk? Do you text him all the time and say, what's going on? What's going on? Any updates? Or do you just like, I'm just going to sit back and see what happens?
Yeah. I'd say I'm one of those guys that I'm just going to have to sit back, maybe send him a prayer, send him a text, let him know I'm thinking about him. Definitely just for his recovery, you know, checking in with him there. But, I know that he loves it in Minnesota. I know that he doesn't want to go anywhere. It's just a matter of, you know, this game. So I would love to have him back. That's my guy. But, yeah, it's one of those things I'm going to just, you know, have to sit back and pray.
You're I want to get to this I am gifted, right, because I don't think you are gifted. We know that, but I don't think you're wearing it in a braggadocious manner. But before you give us your pitch on that, right, because we're going to grade you, all right, I want to know who's the guy, speaking of I am gifted, that you've played over the last year or two where you just went, like, holy crap, I didn't realize that guy was like this or he's unreal.
Oh, man, there's a handful of guys.
You can rattle them off if
pretty,
you want.
Pretty ridiculous. I mean, over the years that I've got to play Kenny,
Kenny
Clark.
Beast.
He's gifted.
He is.
He's one of those guys that just, like, no matter what the game plan is, to double team him or stop him, he knows how to get through. He knows how to make a play and knows how to
hold his
wreck
ground.
The game.
Right,
yeah, so he's definitely one of those guys. And then I would say another guy I got to play against that just an all-around dog, Fred Warner.
Yeah, right.
I got to play against him. He went to BYU, so I got to play against him when I was at Boise State.
Right,
so we kind of had this long-lived friendly rivalry going on. And, I just got a lot of respect for the way he flies around, the way he plays. And, you know, that's why they're deserving of being here.
Yeah,
and,
it's one of the best there is.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Well, you played both teams. Where are you leaning? Give me a lean here. Don't be a chicken.
Yeah.
Come on now.
I got to lean to the 49ers.
You're leaning the Niners. Okay. You're the first person.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you the first person.
I think – for one, you know, knowing a couple guys, and then for me, you know, we won and during the season, so I kind of feel like I could root for him now because we got that out the way.
Because you can say we beat the Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, you know?
Look at what we could have been
if
6 days later Kirk Cousins hadn't popped an Achilles tendon, because that was that Monday night.
Yeah.
That was the best game of his career. And 6 days later, that thing popped. You could see it pop on the video.
Yeah.
Broke my heart. Killed my year.
Yeah.
And you loved it.
Boy.
You didn't love
Easy
it. Not in that
boy.
Way. He didn't want Kirk to get injured. But he loves it when I'm miserable.
Oh, man.
All right, let's hear it. I am gifted.
Yeah.
I want to hear about this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to be here, be able to partner with Liovici and with my brand, I Am Gifted. And we do a lot of amazing things as far as trying to give back. That's really where my passion is as far as using my platform. I don't use it for me. I use it to make an impact in lives. And so with I Am Gifted, we just encourage everybody to continue to dig deep, find the gift that they have within themselves, and let it shine in this world.
Yeah,
we
cool,
believe
man.
That everyone was born with a gift, and
right.
That's the message behind it. We try to provide dream-chasing opportunities for the youth while emphasizing the importance of mental health and positive mental health practices. And, you know, a lot of our efforts go towards just spreading love and positivity and suicide prevention. So
that's cool, man.
Yeah, just trying to do what we can, trying to do what I can to use my platform and impact lives.
It's a cool
lives.
Slogan.
It's awesome.
And it's cool what it stands
it's
for,
awesome.
Man.
And really it's great. It's great what you're doing.
Yeah.
There's
got to
be a story behind the chain. That thing is amazing,
oh, yeah.
And I feel
Thank
like
you.
There is a rich story as to what that signifies.
Yeah, definitely. So this is the logo. I actually have it tattooed as well. That I was, you know, I was sitting down, I drew it up, and you know, it's the logo for my brand, Into a Heart, the I Am Gifted Heart, and through that, it's love and positivity is a lifeline. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what you may feel, you're not alone in that. And as long as you can breathe in some love and positivity, wherever you get that from, whether it's self-love, whether it's love from a family member or friend, that will breed life. So, yeah, that's why I got a lot of butterflies tattooed, and I got this tattooed as well.
So it's like a cross, a heart, and like the
EKG.
The EKG, right?
Yeah, so the love and positivity.
Right.
Lifeline.
Cool, man. Yeah. I like it. It's really cool.
Great stuff. Alexander, congratulations on everything. Keep on Kirk, please. We're going to see him tomorrow. Yeah. I'm going to work on him. Let's come up with a strategy. JJ was here yesterday. Between you and me and him, I think we can triangulate and we can get this done. That's right.
Yeah, we'll have to make some calls.
All right. Alexander Mattison, we'll have more PFT Live from Radio Row in Las Vegas right after this.
You might not think that a few simple words could make you crave McDonald's breakfast sandwiches. But if you listen closely to the sound of me saying McGriddles, McMuffin, you might be wrong. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.